It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up at Central Time, we'll find out why some craft brewers say Wisconsin law is hurting their industry.
First, it's our weekly look at the latest in national politics with Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. A series of terrorist attacks rocked Paris last Friday, and the repercussions have ricocheted around the globe.
Here in the U.S., Republican governors, including Wisconsin's Scott Walker, have said they won't allow Syrian refugees to resettle in their states. Congress is planning to vote on legislation that would halt that resettlement in the U.S. altogether.
Republican candidates have criticized President Obama for not taking a strong enough stance against the Islamic State, and the president has defended himself by suggesting that they haven't offered a concrete plan.
Also in campaign news, Governor Bobby Jindal of Louisiana is the latest Republican to drop out of a crowded presidential field. Here with us now is Harry Enten. Harry, good to talk to you.
Nice to talk with you guys again.
Well, on the face of it, Harry, how do these attacks change the political conversation here in the U.S.?
Sure. So I think, you know, Republicans who have obviously the more competitive primary right now, we have a lot of candidates running, and they are trying to win votes in a very divided field. And we know now Bloomberg came out with a poll earlier today that showed that ISIS and dealing with ISIS is now the number one issue in this country. It has scooted past the economy. So at least immediately you're going to hear a lot from the Republican candidates, as you've hinted about, saying that Obama is weak on this. But most Republicans haven't come up with a concrete plan, as you said. Jeb Bush is an exception. He wants troops, foot soldiers on the ground. John Kasich has long argued for that. So we are seeing Republicans potentially going to try to out-hawk each other, you might say, and they're just going to hammer Obama over and over again. Meanwhile, the Democratic candidates really haven't said much of anything, and Obama pretty much wants to keep the status quo and says that although this might have been a setback, we're in the right direction. We have the right strategy going forward.
We've had presidential elections in the past where it was the economy, stupid, was the catchphrase then. The Iraq war has been a key issue. Do you see this right now in the polls, just after the event? This is the big issue. Do you see this remaining as the dominant issue of the presidential race for a while?
Isn't that the question, right? What will be the news a month from now, 2 months from now, 3 months from now? Remember, I'll go back to the 1992 presidential campaign where everyone thought that George Herbert Walker Bush was going to fly high because of his handling of the Persian Gulf War. And then that disappeared as the economy became the number one issue. We are still a year away. It's very possible that, you know, dealing with ISIS is going to be the number one issue in the general election, but we just don't know. In terms of the primary, we're obviously much closer, so there's a much higher chance that dealing with ISIS will be the number one issue on Republican primary voters' minds, but there's just no way to know that yet.
And one question that I've seen coming up, including in a discussion at 538, is does this change the calculus for people like Donald Trump, Ben Carson, people without that political experience? Does it make people maybe think, is this the candidate I want handling these issues? It's early, obviously. Where do you see that going?
Yeah, I mean, I think the conventional wisdom is that this is the type of thing that would hurt a candidate like Trump or like Ben Carson or like Carly Fiorina, who doesn't have political office experience. But there's no way. Now, this season has been just so wacky. And if you look at the poll numbers, you see that really, you know, Donald Trump and Ben Carson before these attacks did pretty well on, you know, the issue of terrorism or whether you would believe that this type of person you would want handling the nuclear button, so these hypotheticals. Trump and Carson did pretty well on those. Now, whether or not that actually holds when people actually really have to face the idea of Donald Trump being in control of a nuclear button, who knows, or controlling armed forces. But for now, most of the polling that we've seen, at least initially, hasn't really changed the dynamic of the race. Donald Trump was probably doing a little less well this month than he was last month, but that continues to be the case. There really hasn't been any major movement in the race.
Outside of the presidential race, so Republican governors, as we mentioned, Scott Walker here in Wisconsin, saying to the extent that they can avoid it, they don't want Syrian refugees resettled in their state. So what do you make of this big movement of almost all Republican governors?
Right, and we should say that obviously Maggie Hassan, who's a Democratic governor of New Hampshire, has also gone along with it, but it is mostly Republican governors. I think what it really comes down to is they know their voters, they know what the people are thinking, and they don't have to fear going against the President of the United States. So, you know, if you look at the polling that's come out since the attack, most Americans do not want any Syrian refugees coming into the United States. For a Republican, it's then very easy to go after President Obama, especially because Republican voters overwhelmingly don't want it, over two-thirds. Democratic governors face a much different situation because the president is Democratic. They don't want to go against him. At the same time, Democratic voters are more evenly split, though even there, it's not even a majority that want the refugees in the United States. So it's not really surprising that we're seeing Republicans going after him. And more than that, it's not surprising that Maggie Hassan, who's the Democratic governor of New Hampshire, who's going to be in a very competitive Senate race next year against a Republican candidate, is also saying that she doesn't want the refugees because right now that's where the American public is. The American public, at least at this point, does not want refugees being settled and Syrian refugees in the United States.
And Congress is looking at this issue. The U.S. House trying to get something done pretty soon to halt this resettlement in the United States. I want to hear Wisconsin Congressman, House Speaker Paul Ryan on the issue.
We have a refugee situation that we think requires a pause and a more comprehensive assessment on how to better guarantee that members of ISIS are not infiltrating themselves among the refugee population.
Republican-led effort, as you mentioned, some Democrats may go along with this. Do you see something passing the House? They want to do it before their Thanksgiving recess.
You know, I think it will obviously pass the House. The question isn't whether they, you know, Republicans have a majority in the House and Republicans have a majority in the Senate. So there's no question we'll probably pass the House. The question is whether they can really override a veto. And I'm suspicious of that, if only because, you know, Nancy Pelosi is a pretty good House Minority Leader, and she'll get her troops in line. So I'm suspicious of that, but they're certainly going to get enough votes to at least make the president look bad.
And the person who would issue that veto, President Obama, has been responding to Republicans, the candidates, the governors. Here's a little bit. He's talked a lot this week.
These are the same folks oftentimes who suggest that they're so tough that just talking to Putin or staring down ISIL or using some additional rhetoric somehow is going to solve the problems out there. But apparently they're scared of widows and orphans coming into the United States of America as part of our tradition of compassion.
So President Obama pushing back very strongly against his critics on the Republican side.
Yeah, I mean, he is pushing back strongly. He clearly believes in this. And you know what? He doesn't have to run for re-election again. So he can say what he thinks and thinks clearly that we should continue on with settling these Syrian refugees in the United States. But the American public, at least right now, is not with him.
Talking to Harry Enten from 538 in our weekly look at national politics. A Democratic debate since the last time we talked to you, Harry, this weekend. And, well, the subject of that debate changed very dramatically. How did you see the responses from the three remaining Democrats?
You know, it was basically, John Dickerson and his team at CBS moved up the foreign policy questions to the front of the debate. And what was so interesting about that was there really was not much energy from the Democrats when it came to foreign policy. I think that's partially because they don't differ very much, at least going forward, on how we should handle different foreign policy issues. But it's also a sign that they're very hesitant to disagree with President Obama. And if we see going forward that ISIS and how to deal with them and foreign policy and terrorism becomes the number one issue, it may be bad news for Democrats because there just is not that much passion for those particular issues, as opposed to economic issues, where all of a sudden the debaters came very much alive on Saturday night in the second half of that debate.
People on the left of the Democratic Party who are worried about Hillary Clinton's policies on the economy, I'm guessing in many cases the same people who might see her as too hawkish on foreign policy. Do you think that might be part of the dynamic on the Democratic side?
Sure, I think that's true. But Bernie Sanders, who's obviously her main competitor at this point, although he certainly agrees with more dovish foreign policy positions, it's not where his passion is. You can clearly see that. When he debates and he's talking about foreign policy, there's just, the rhetoric and just the volume of his voice just isn't there as it is on economic issues. And that was part of the reason, I'll bring out a name from the past, why Lincoln Chafee stayed in the Democratic primary so long. It wasn't because, I think part of it might have been that he was lonely, but I think it's also because Bernie Sanders just doesn't talk about foreign policy that often. He's just so much more invested in the economic side of the equation. So, they'll like Bernie Sanders but Bernie Sanders' main game is the economy, and any talk about foreign policy takes away from that as far as he's concerned.
On the Republican side, the Republican field, one candidate less now, Bobby Jindal of Louisiana, outgoing governor there, term limited in Louisiana. He dropped out of the race this week, never really seemed to get rolling, did he?
No, I mean, if you asked most Americans who Bobby Jindal was, they wouldn't have a clue, which I think was sort of the sad thing. He announced at, 6:15 past the hour, long past the top of the hour, on Brett Baer's show on Fox at 6 o'clock, 6:15 Eastern time yesterday. Most people just didn't care. Jindal is almost a sad story in the sense that he was once a very promising politician, came up in Louisiana, served in the Bush administration, still is only in his low 40s. And then it just kind of all collapsed for him. It was just the field was too big, and his job in Louisiana, he did such a poor job as far as the voters were concerned in Louisiana, that a state that Mitt Romney won by 17 points, it looks like a Democratic candidate is going to win the governorship, in large part because Louisiana voters are so upset with how Jindal handled his job there as governor.
Getting close to some actual votes being cast. Crazy, I know. We've been talking about this for a while. Do you expect to see a lot more candidates on that Republican side in particular drop out before the Iowa caucus?
I think there have to be a few, right? They drop slowly. We're now down to 14, which is still a tremendously large field. There are some candidates who will probably look up at the scoreboard and say, we just don't have it. There are any number of candidates who are polling below 2% or 3% nationally. And remember, this year the Iowa caucus is a month later than it was the previous two cycles. So they'll have more time to drop out. So it could be 13, 12, 10. It wouldn't shock me if there were, 9 or 10 candidates left by the time we come around. So, yeah, I think there are going to be a few drop, but it's not like we're going to drop down to 2 or 3. There'll probably still be a lot of candidates left by the time the voting begins.
Harry, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That was Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. He joins us every week at this time to talk about the latest in national politics.